It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 651 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week we're going to go into comics-related territory. She Could Fly, the groundbreaking graphic novel, is a one-of-a-kind reading experience. And now that experimental graphic novel from Dark Horse Comics and Burger Books is a documentary escape game designed to challenge how we think about the deeply misunderstood mental illness OCD. This week I talk with leader co-designer Sarah Kenny and co-producer Mairead Ruane. They worked with a team of lived experience experts to inform the content and create a global engagement campaign to shift how we think about OCD and mental health. It's described this way. Combining comic art, documentary films, and interactive gameplay, the She Could Fly documentary escape game is a point-and-click psychological game from Wildbagger Productions that takes players on a looping adventure to explore OCD. We discuss how this project came to be, who the characters are, and how you can access the book as well as the now-available game. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they both have to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode. So let's get on with the show.
Loneliness corrodes like acid.
All right. Back in this corridor. Again.
This is a joke.
Just as I thought I wanted to leave, you make it look fun. Smoking to forget you got the blue. We burnt the toast. Oh, what a genius. Again. Do it. Can you do it again? Keep trying the switches.
All right. This is a joke.
Again. Do it. Can you do it again?
All right. This is a joke.
Can you do it again? Again. 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 Again.
Combining comic art, documentary films, and interactive gameplay, the She Could Fly documentary escape game is a point-and-click psychological game from Wildbagger Productions that takes players on a looping adventure to explore OCD. And this game was created by Sarah Kenny, who led and co-designed the game with co-producer Mairead Ruane. She has experienced OCD. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
And Mairead, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. Very excited to be here on this podcast today.
Now, this game is already available. It came out on Friday, July 12th, and it's available for $5.99 in the States, $4.99 in the UK and areas like that. All proceeds beyond development costs going to further development engagement activities around OCD and mental health, along with the upkeep of the game. And let's start off. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Sorry, can I just correct you? I don't have lived experience of OCD.
Okay. Good to know, because I read a release and somewhere on the I got the experience that the impression that you were so good. It's good to correct that right off the bat. And Mairead, how about you?
I'm well, thank you. Excited to be here today to talk about the game and the inspiration, which is She Could Fly, the comic.
Right, right. It's the She Could Fly. My understanding is I got a chance to read the book, which I really enjoyed, by the way. Really interesting. This actually came out back in 2019 originally. It was one of the Burger books from Dark Horse Comics and stuff like that. It's really an interesting book. I guess, Sarah, do you want to talk a little bit about the book and what the story's about?
Sure, yeah. The book, it's a really, really interesting book. And the concept is a young girl called Luna, who lives with OCD. She witnesses a woman flying in the air, and she gets obsessed by this woman and wants to know who she is and what's going on with her. And so there's kind of like a sort of a noirish story running behind it all, where she's trying to figure out who this woman is, what happened. And I'm trying not to give too much of away, but the story sort of combines, I guess, the violence of what's happening in the real world and the violent thoughts that she's having in her head, the OCD thoughts she's having in her head. So the sort of the combination of that sort of thriller story with her own internal experiences are kind of interwoven throughout. And it just, it's a really visceral way of sharing the thoughts in her brain, which are very extreme. And kind of when you get to sort of understand OCD a bit more, you realize that it's almost like you think the worst things that your brain can invent. And it's horrifying because, you know, our brains are kind of very active and can be quite dark. But then in a way, like sort of like a spam email, normally when you'd have an intrusive thought, you'd bump it away and carry on with your day. And what happens to Luna in the comic is she can't do this. So she has to perform these compulsions in order to get rid of those dark thoughts. So Martine Morazzo and Christopher Cantwell, who lives with OCD, did an amazing job of sort of bringing to life and visualizing and telling the story of Luna and what's going on in her brain.
Okay. And you're using a lot of the comic art in the game, right?
Yeah, right. So the comic art, it was a really interesting process. We had to, at the beginning, sort of lay out lots of the pages and think about, well, which elements of the story do we weave into the game? And so what we have is in the hallway, we have, as you walk in, various pages from the comic. But essentially the game is, it's not set in the story world of the comic. You have a character who basically is called Hannah, and you walk into her flat and there's ripped up pieces of the She Could Fly comic around the flat, and you have to pick them up, put them together, stick them on a plinth, and you can then read two pages. And there's embedded in the comic are these documentary inserts. And so the comic is, if you like, a portal to understanding a bit more about the comic story, but also into the documentaries that again then give you more information that help you to play the game.
Okay, interesting. Now, the documentary, is that largely about OCD?
Yeah, so the documentaries feature experts, as in psychologists, historians, sociologists, and people with lived experience of OCD. And Mairead features in, as well as sort of co-producing the game, she features in the documentaries.
Okay, very good. Now, Mairead, let's you and me talk about OCD, why don't we? Now, you have experienced this real time, right?
Yeah, since I was a kid, I think, but definitely since I was 13, when I first remember experiencing, like, intrusive thoughts, which felt really distressing. Usually about either harm coming to myself or others, and feeling like I needed to perform compulsions, which for me were quite internal and they weren't visible. You couldn't see them. So they didn't follow the more stereotypical depictions of OCD as hand washing and tapping and checking, but instead were focused on ruminating and thinking a lot about past events and trying to weigh up whether these things could be true about me, but to such an obsessive extent. Because I felt responsible for the thoughts and felt really responsible to figure it all out, even though I was just a kid and a teenager. And even as an adult, like, it's very exhausting to feel that you need to solve and fix thoughts in order to feel safe or to prevent harm from coming to other people. So when I came across this project, I was just really excited that OCD was being told in the story, in the comic, in such a authentic and powerful way, and that the game was going to try and do the same. And the documentaries within the game were where I initially got involved and spoke about my experience. And then I started helping with more behind the scenes parts of the production. And through that, eventually became a co-producer, where my input has been valued over the last 2 years, which has been, a great experience for me.
Okay, interesting. Now, OCD, my understanding, it stands for Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, because I want people to know exactly what it is we're talking about and see what and explore it themselves as well. How did you relate to Luna and her experiences? Did you have any experiences that were similar to hers?
Definitely, yeah. So there's a really huge thought bubble in the comic, and listing all of the different harm intrusive thoughts that she's experiencing. So a lot of intrusive thoughts, sexual or harm related, that were really difficult for her, that are causing her a lot of pain. And the fact that this could be shown through a thought bubble was really, really clever to me, and really depicts the horrendous, like, toll it takes on your mind and self. And I think that, yeah, I really related to those intrusive thoughts and then the impact that it has on her. She feels like she needs to perform compulsions because ultimately that's what OCD is. It's the having the intrusive thoughts, images, urges, which you feel the responsibility to solve, and then doing compulsions, which, you know, may cause short-term relief, but ultimately continue that cycle of obsessions and compulsions. So yeah, I really related to Luna, especially because I was a young girl when I started experiencing those thoughts, like she is in the comic, and navigating trying to get a counselor and trying to go to school and all of that sort of stuff at the same time. So it's a really painful experience, but the comic uses a lots of different, you know, symbols like the flying woman and flying as liberation and peace of mind. And I think that that's really, it's used really interesting storytelling techniques to tell such a difficult story, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like the person who wrote this did a lot of research into this. Christopher Cantwell is the writer of this book, and it looks like he did a lot of research on this. The one that stands out to me, the image, is where they talk about her learning to drive. And immediately she has this image of like somebody being splattered on the front of the car. She's like basically hit somebody and done extensive damage to that person. And that to me was kind of interesting because, you know, as we all learn, and there's parts of OCD that I can relate to. I never was diagnosed with it or anything like that, but I have acrophobia. I have fear of heights. The moment I start to get up, I can feel myself starting to go over the side and stuff like that, which I think is a little OCD-like in that way. So I think this is – it's a little more prevalent than we give it credit for, I think. So do you think that's true? Do you think that the more of us experience OCD type of things than we realize?
Christopher Cantwell himself has experienced OCD, and which is, I think, why I found the depiction so powerful. I think whenever you're depicting something that's, you know, a true to life experience, it's really important to either have that experience, or if you don't, that you involve people properly and listen to them who do. Yeah, I think that more people do than even know they do, because a lot of people are suffering in shame and silence, like I was, because of OCD being so misunderstood. It's hard to know when you're struggling with it and not just think you're a bad person. So, yeah, I think that many more people are suffering than the statistics would show.
Okay. Yep. And Sarah, what was it about this project that attracted you to doing it?
So we've been running various immersive experiences at Thought Bubble Comic Con in Leeds. And we'd sort of done one, we did one on The Wicked and Divine, one on The Walking Dead. And when the pandemic hit, we started to think about whether we could do something digitally. So what we were looking for is kind of like a story, and particularly something around science and health, because that's what we do, but also something that where the writer or the artist had lived experience. And I suppose what attracted me to this was the fact that Christopher Cantwell had talked about his own experiences of OCD and obviously how that impacted the telling of the story. So yeah, and I'd worked with Karen Berger before, so just approached her to see if we could try and start to adapt it somehow into a game. I think what's really interesting is because with the escape game format, you go in loops, you kind of go in loops, and you're trying to get out of one room and into another space, etc. And that kind of mirrored the experience of living with OCD and being stuck in those loops. So it felt quite interesting to sort of have that, the game loop, sort of mirroring or modeling the thought loop, if you like. So and also, you know, in terms of sort of the comic artwork, I think what's really interesting, what's really hard for indie games is, A, you have sort of small budgets or no budget. And so it's how to sort of make the space feel interesting and beautiful and different. And so sort of working with comic art and, you know, obviously Martin Marazzo's work, it was just really amazing to sort of put it around the walls. And actually what we did as well is we needed to decorate the walls with more art. So we went to a whole range of UK artists and asked them if they, for a small fee, if they had a cover that they would like featured on the walls in the game. And so we have artwork from 10, 12 different artists that are all around, and you can go up to them, you click on them, it tells you the artist, it takes them to their website. So it's got like a gallery feel to it as well, featuring lots of other comic artists.
Okay, now I'm curious as to how you translate a comic book into a game, because, you know, the book has a certain, you know, there is no variation from the story. You read it, it follows along. But from what you're talking about, moving things in circles and stuff like that, was that something, let's say, did Marade provide some other kinds of experiences that could be added to the story? How did you approach that?
We work in a way where we bring together a load of lived experience people, experts, and we sit and have a conversation with them about what that experience is like. And we talk about the comic, and we think as a sort of team, if you like, sort of what they would be interested in portraying and what mattered to them the most about the experience. So what they wanted to share, what they wanted to see change. So definitely the films, a lot of it is, you know, people share their experience, but they also talk about what they want to see change. So when we were adapting it, we had this process of consulting with our team of experts, writing, letting them see things. And so it's like this really iterative process of going backwards and forwards. And so a lot of the stuff, when we work with a brilliant escape game designer called Minkette, and she, her thoughts on it were, and she, because she designs escape rooms, were really clever in that we wouldn't just have like puzzles that gave you information about the myths, etc. The whole experience is about what it feels like to live with OCD. Like, obviously a game is never going to recreate that, but the way that the mechanic and the loops of the game work, it kind of almost nudges you into sort of these OCD like behaviors. Mairead, I don't know if you comment more on that, because obviously your lived experience is more valid here.
Yeah, so the behaviors, I don't want to give away too much about the game, but the behaviors you need to engage in order to continue, you know, do replicate those of OCD, or some people's OCD compulsions. And yeah, the whole loop format is similar to that of the OCD cycle, which works in a, you know, a circular way where it feels quite inescapable, which is quite, yeah, symbolic in an escape room. But ultimately, you can escape, you can break the cycle, and I think that's explored well in the game too. But yeah, you'll have to play to find out more.
And also in the documentaries, we also have... Martine, Chris and Karen Berger are all interviewed for the documentaries as well. So it's really great that they can refer back to the game, so they can refer back to the character in the comic and how they, what their thoughts are when they were sort of writing the comic, their own experiences and how that then links back. And we then link that back to the sort of the gameplay as well. So it was a long process of weaving it all together, obviously, sort of combining all these different formats. But yeah, it was interesting in terms of when working with the lived experience gives you a completely different outcome, I would say.
Interesting. Now, of course, the book is about apparently somebody sees a woman flying and becomes very popular in Chicago where all this takes place. And people are trying to figure out how she can do it and who she is and all this kind of stuff. And Luna kind of latches on to her because she looks at fly, as you mentioned before, I think, Mairead, about the flying is kind of freedom and this freedom from doing stuff. I could relate to that because of my acrophobia, because, you know, I would love nothing better than be able to fly, you know, and yet I would probably be like, I'd be paralyzed up there in the sky because I'd be so terribly afraid I was going to fall. And I think that's a little bit, it's a little bit to help me to understand and relate to all of this kind of stuff. Is that at all similar to the kind of things that you experience as Mairead?
Yeah, I think I'm always working towards towards becoming freer from my maybe more natural state of anxiety that, you know, for whatever reasons I've developed. So I think, yeah, whether the symbol of that is flying, it's like trying to move away from being trapped by my intrusive thoughts and anxiety and compulsions, and instead, you know, risking uncertainty and living more in that space, gray area, that's not, that you can't be certain of, you know, just like life, you can't be certain of what's going to happen or what your impact on things are. You just got to do your best and be guided by your values. And I think flying is kind of in the comic, a symbol of embracing uncertainty and being freer from that, from the grips of OCD.
See, it's interesting because flying in comics is a big deal. Mm. You know, Superman can fly. When Superman first appeared, he did not fly. He jumped from place to place. And then all of a sudden, you know, as always in the comics, there's evolution going on, and he starts to fly. And ever since then, I mean, you know, they always have to warn kids, don't put, because when I was a kid, I wore a cape too. You know, I ran around, stuff like that, trying to mimic what I saw in the comics. But you have to always warn kids, just because you have a cape on, that doesn't mean you can, you know, jump off a building and fly and stuff like that. So it's choosing flying, I think, was Christopher came up with a very brilliant way for kids in particular to understand, as particularly comic fans and stuff like, to understand that kind of stuff. Were you a comics fan as Tomb Raider? Was this your introduction to comics?
This was my introduction to comics and games, actually. So it's been a very, like, you know, experience full of learning. Yeah, so it's my introduction to both. Documentaries I was much more familiar with, and had thought that was what I wanted to create, and then the opportunity to combine them all and be inspired by comic was like really powerful, and it just introduced me to the idea that comics, that games, that all kind of forms of art and creativity can be used to communicate really important messages.
Because see, comics, you have an unlimited special effects budget, I like to say. You're only limited by the imagination of the creators, and you have, you know, and she can fly. I mean, you don't have to do special effects of it. You just draw her up in the sky, and so comics can do these kinds of things. And I'm always surprised that comics don't deal with these kind of subjects more, because this is the perfect medium for me to do that. And I'm sure the game is very much that way too, because you can use, you're on a screen and you're doing something similar to what a comic does. Well, Sarah, I got to ask you that same question. Were you aware of comics, or were you involved? Had you read comics much before this?
Oh yeah. I mean, since I was young, I was into comics and games. So my dad was really into 2000 AD, Dan Dare, stuff like that. So we had them around the house. And then I was kind of slightly obsessed with the Vertigo range when I was a teenager. So I've been a fan of comics, and then obviously written. My first comic was working with John Watkiss and Karen Berger on Surgeon X. And then since then, working on participatory comics. So we worked on one called Planet Divot 91. And I've worked on quite a few graphic medicine titles. So we recently did some work on a load of one-page comics linked to sickle cell, working with Shelley Bond, Imogen Mangle, and a range of new comic creators. So I've been, I was on backgrounds TV and then working comics since about 2016. But obviously, and gaming. So my brother was, he used to program games on the ZX Spectrum when we were younger. So he'd like write us into games, and then really got into games at a young age, and you know, got, when I was a bit older, got PlayStation and used to spend many hours on gaming. So, and obviously worked in documentary. So bringing these worlds together was an interesting experience. So yeah, I suppose I came at it bringing together three of the areas that I have worked in and that I love. So, yeah.
See, that's interesting, because so often in the industry, there's competition between gaming and comics. because, you know, if you look at a game, there's animation going on, and a lot of people can relate to that more these days because the creation of gaming is so good and so powerful that people, you know, you've got to use your imagination more, and the artist has to propel you from one panel to another, which is a little different. Your head has to fill that in, where the game provides that for you. And so it's always interesting to me because there's always this thing, why can't comics be more like games? Well, it's a whole nother medium. Were you challenged, or was it interesting to you when you made that jump? Because I'm so interested, because you said that you got involved with games and stuff like that, Sarah. Do you have a preference for one, or does it matter, or does it have to do with the subject matter?
No, I mean, what I find really interesting as a writer is every time you write in a different format, you are using different writing skills, flexing different muscles and learning new things. So, you know, writing for documentary, when I did writing for drama, that was a whole other arena, because you're kind of in documentary, you're often sort of explaining things and lots of exposition. You say what you see. And then when you move over to comics, again, it's kind of what happens between the panels and writing for that. Completely different. And so I learned so much writing for comics in terms of layer upon layer of things. And then writing for games, obviously it's non-linear. And so people can go in any direction at any time. And so the storytelling has to allow for that. It has to. You can guide people in different directions. And I think with the loops, obviously, we kind of built on the story as the loops progressed. But certainly your brain then has to switch into this other mode of thinking. And, you know, I work with brilliant programmers, game designers, Two Tails, and they were very, very patient with helping us to kind of understand that format and what you can do and what you can't do. But So writing for those different mediums every time, I think it definitely flexes different muscles. And I think it's quite fun to actually sort of think about where you can go with stories by using the different and even mixing them together. I quite enjoy that, the challenge of that.
Okay. So let's see. And Mairead, what about you with as far as like, because this was your first experience and stuff like that. Have you read other comics, and have you gotten involved with other games since then, or has this basically been your experience with it?
Yeah, this has been my introduction, really. And yeah, it's been ongoing for 2 years, kind of. And the last few months has been much more, I've been much more involved and at the beginning. So like, yeah, so it's been very full on. So no more games as of yet, but I'm looking for more documentary work. And I'm also, I'm going to be from now on more reading more comics and games. So yeah, any recommendations are welcome.
Okay, well, unfortunately, you have to know what the person's interested in and stuff like that. So we'd have to talk more for me to do that. But I recommend you go to a local comic shop. They'll be able to point you in certain directions and stuff like that. Now, I'm curious as to how this game wraps up. And I don't want to spoil anything, but the way that I understand these sorts of things, you don't suddenly become, you know, you don't suddenly put the whole thing past you. You know, you continue to grow, and you continue to learn how to cope and develop and stuff like that. Sarah, as far as the game goes, without spoiling too much, does this come to like a satisfying conclusion? Does it come to a place where maybe you direct people to find out more? How do you wrap this game up?
I mean, definitely. I mean, I guess storytelling is all about thinking of the conflict and the barriers you're putting in front of people and twisting expectations. So each loop tries to do that. It tries to think about, where are you beginning? Where do you end? What has twisted or changed or moved within each of those loops that might shift your thinking on expectation in any way? And so as you progress, you kind of go in, you know, you achieve, but there comes this sort of this, you know, this moment of great, what's the word? It is kind of a more of a devastating moment that you have to try and pull yourself out of. And that's kind of, you know, a part of the visual of the game. And then it twists and turns and you pull yourself out of it and you do find freedom. You do find freedom in the end. So there is a conclusion and the story, you know, it's five loops. And so there's a fun, kind of a fun loop in there. I think we can say that where you have this sort of 1990s arcade room, you go in, you can kind of walk around and check out one of the games. We have the space, if you like, we kind of reskin and we change it to make it look different at certain moments. So, but certainly in terms of the storytelling, the character that you play actually as you walk in is called Tiger Orchid. So she's like a Twitch YouTube style gamer. And one of the things we really wanted with her character as she walks around is to other Twitch style gamers to play the game and kind of interact with her. And we've seen that actually on Twitch and some of the gaming websites. So there's a couple of the streams I've watched and people have gone, oh my God, she sounds like me, or will answer back to the narrator, Tiger Orchid, and she'll say something and they'll start to have a little chat, which is kind of really satisfying. So as you journey with this narrator, you find out more things about them as well. And I'm not going to say any more because I don't want to give it away, but certainly that there are twists and turns and there is an ending. And it's a short game as well. It's about 90 minutes. So it's kind of like the length of a film, or even shorter than a film these days.
Oh, wow, because a lot of games I know are very extensive. People play them endlessly. So that's interesting that it wraps up. And it doesn't take that long for that. Now, I'm sort of curious. Can you decide which character you're going to play in this game? It's not only Luna. You get to play maybe like the counselor and stuff like that. Well, how does that work?
I'm afraid we didn't have the budget for that, unfortunately. You know, you walk in and it's a point and click game. And you have the narrator voice, which is the Twitch gamer, Tiger Orchid. And as you journey with her, you are kind of moving around and her voice, her narration, you can decide to act on a narration or go against it or whatever. But you're the person exploring the flat like you would when you go into an escape room. You kind of look around, you pick things up, you kind of, you know, try and get into spaces, etc. But yeah, it's one point of view, shall we say.
Okay. That's good to know getting into it and stuff. You made it sound like there was possibilities of returning to this world, Sarah. Did you have other games and experiences in mind that maybe if this goes over well enough that there could be a She Could Fly Too?
Yeah. Well, I think there are I've got lots of game ideas in my head, a lot of other game ideas in my head, based on other comics and other things. So I would absolutely love to do more. It's kind of like the first time you create something. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but my brain's always like, you can see the things that were wrong with it and what you'd do next time and how you'd make it better. And so I feel like there's lots of stories that I'd love to tackle and you know, kind of play with the mechanic, that escape game mechanic of walking around in a space. And yeah, make something else. Obviously there are so many extraordinary comics that I think would translate really well into a game, because in a way what we did is we didn't recreate the comic. It was kind of like, I guess, not even an extension of the story world. It was a different story world where the character was a fan of the comic. And so in this story world, it was kind of like parallel, but it featured the comic. But I think with, you know, a way the lot of comic creators, they have in their mind, you know, sort of how the story world could expand. I think a game, good games, often it's just an expansion of that story world. But yeah, so definitely more if the opportunity arises.
Okay, great. Now, Marae, what about you? Did you talked about you're looking for experience or for more work and stuff in the gaming world. What would you like to see? I mean, do you see where this game might be able to be expanded on?
We spoke about adding more comic art to the walls as the game, as we get more players, and as the game has been out longer, we can add more comic art to the walls, hopefully. We see it being used in different contexts, in hopefully medical schools, in different mental health organizations, as an awareness tool, as a kind of an equalizer in knowledge around OCD. So I'm quite excited to push the game into different areas where gaming might not be as popular as well. So I'm really excited to kind of work on the engagement around this game for now. Yeah.
Okay. Now there's something in the news release I got to ask Sarah about. It says Wildbagger Productions is calling on people to sign OCD Actions Open Letter. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Do you want me to answer it, Sarah?
Well, just in terms of the letter.
So we worked in collaboration with the leading charity for OCD in the UK, OCD Action, and alongside our lived experience experts, co-created goals which aligned with OCD Actions. And the four goals are to end trivialization and increase understanding of OCD, to recognize and count people with OCD, to guarantee timely access to clinically recommended treatments, and to fund research to understand the relationship between the social determinants of health and OCD. And OCD Action's open letter is asking the new UK government to address these goals and to implement changes within mainly in the healthcare system in order to improve the lives of people with OCD. And maybe the main one is to recognise and count people with OCD. Right now, the healthcare system in the UK is not counting people with OCD and looking at their treatment outcomes, where they are with other conditions like schizophrenia. So we're really encouraging people to, when they've been impacted by this game and learned so much about OCD, to do an action based on that, which is to sign the open letter, which will help improve the lives of people with OCD.
Ray, what could we be doing better, in your opinion?
So I think it's mainly down to the government to implement that change in terms of like treatment, healthcare, funding for research. But on an individual level, I think even playing the game, you know, gaining more awareness around a very deeply misunderstood condition, more prevalent than we expect, as we spoke about earlier, and yet still so trivialized, seen as like a quirk or a kind of a personality trait when it's a deeply distressing disorder. So I think it can start with educating yourself, and then that might change how people use the term OCD in everyday language and treat people with OCD. And I think that translates to putting pressure on the government to actually do more, and the healthcare system to better support people with OCD.
Okay, now what about those of us in the States? Is there anything that we can do? Can we sign that letter as well?
Yeah. So anyone in the world can sign the letter. And then the International OCD Foundation, they're the best worldwide charity, and they have, you know, lots of information on how to get support for OCD in the States and what their goals are around improving lives of people. I think the thing around awareness and understanding is worldwide. And the International OCD Foundation have more information on exactly how to improve the lives of citizens in the States.
Okay, and Sarah, how do people access this game? It's the She Could Fly documentary escape game. How do people access it? Is there a particular place? Is it available in stores? Where do they get it?
Yeah, so there's a couple of places you can go. Steam, which is a gaming platform. If you just go onto Steam, you sign up to a free account. You just type in She Could Fly and you add it to your wish list, or you can just buy it straight away. £4.99, $5.99, and then all other equivalents. It's also available on Humble Store. So if you're a Humble Store fan, go on there and you can also get a copy of the game. And we'll be having sales in the future, obviously, as well. So it will be available cheaper. But and then also anybody who has, you know, is a doctor or a nurse or a mental health practitioner, we're very interested in speaking to them about how they might use it in their work as well. So I would say just contact us, go to our website, Wildbag Productions, and give us a shout. And we'd be very happy to talk about supplying copies for educational purposes.
Okay, and I guess if you want the graphic novel that this is based on, go to your local store, local comic shop, and ask them for the She Could Fly book. And a little bit of information on that. It's written by Christopher Cantwell and the art by Martin Marazzo. And you can get that book if you want to see with that. But you can also enjoy the game, I think. You probably do both and have a good, complete experience with that. Now, Sarah, as far as other things, now this is this is in stores and it's available. Are there other projects that you're working on that we should be looking out for?
Yes, I'm working on another comic that is either coming out end of this year, beginning of next, depending on various things. But yeah, it's a comic book called Acid Box, and it's a time travel story exploring 1990s rave culture. And so it's kind of like a group of girls that meet in a club toilets and go off and have incredible adventures. And I'm working with several artists on that, James Devlin, Rhea Grix, and Emma Vicelli. We're currently in the midst of getting that finished.
Okay, and I'll get to you in a second, Maureen, but if you, where do they follow you on social media if they want to keep up with what you're doing?
So Wowbagger UK is our Twitter, and Wowbagger Productions for Instagram.
Okay, and Maureen, how about you? If you're doing stuff that professionally that people want to keep up with, how do they do that? How do they follow you on social media?
So on Instagram, it's my name, Maureen Duran _. And yeah, I'm currently working in the starting stages of a short film around neurodivergence, specifically how a wood project has been helpful for a group of people in my hometown with autism. And yeah, that's a short film that I'm in the planning stages of, but I'm just still at the beginning stages of kind of exploring different art forms and ways to get different messages across.
Okay. Spell your name for people, because the internet is unforgiving when it comes to that. The people who want to follow you, to make sure that they follow you, how do they do that? How do you spell your name?
So MAIREADRUANE and then an _.
Okay, sounds good. And this sounds like a fascinating project. I can't wait to have a go at it and see what's going on with it. It is now available, as we said. It's on the gaming platform Steam, it says, on according to the news release. And it's a not-for-profit game, interestingly, which is something that's interesting about that. Are you guys going to be doing any appearances to promote it, or are you going to just stick with online interviews and stuff like that?
I mean, I do Thought Bubble Comic Con every year, so we'll be at Thought Bubble, and we actually tested the game there last year. Thank you, Thought Bubble, and the audience, which was brilliant because we got loads of feedback and fed that into it. I don't know about other spaces, but we do tend to sort of go around Comic Cons and various places, so we'll definitely be sharing the game.
Very good. Again, it's the She Could Fly documentary escape game. And it's been great to talk with both of you, and I wish you much success. I think it's a great thing. I think we could all benefit to learn more about this. So thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.